You see, we are all called to be people of God. And each of us is called to serve God in our own way. We don't know what that way may be. It may be going to the hospital to visit the sick. I don't recommend doing it by stretcher, but if that's the way you have to get there, then, you know, that's one way to get there. It may be preaching, it may be teaching, it may be taking care of the younger ones, it may be serving in various agencies around the town, around the community, around the country, helping those in need. We do all kinds of things. Those of you who are members of our congregation know that there are many in the congregation who serve in many different ways. I serve as pastor part-time, but I serve people in need as a drug abuse counselor on a full-time basis, and that to me is as much of a ministry as being a minister. And so we each have different things that we are called to do. I know that in my life, it has always been amazing to me to step out on faith when I felt like God was calling me to something that I had no clue how I was going to accomplish, and have God take over my life and send me, anoint me, make me able to serve in ways that, had I thought about it, had I looked at it from an earthly perspective, I would never have imagined I would have been able to accomplish. In fact, I suspect that there are a whole lot of people who knew me back in the day, as we say, who would never believe that I could accomplish doing what I am doing today, which is standing before you as someone who preaches the Word of God, because they knew me when I didn't go to church. And now I do. Annual conference was quite an experience this year, to say the least. Shirley and I were talking about how different it was this year from last year. Last year we went, and at 8:30 in the morning we were there for the opening of the day's activities, and at 8 o'clock at night we were just finishing up with the end of the evening's activities, and we spent pretty close to 12 hours a day for the whole conference in meetings, talking to people, in conferences, trying to understand some of the stuff that they were talking about, because if you want to have to bend your brain, just get involved in church structure and church politics, and wow, it's complicated. We are a big church. It's a good thing they call us Methodist. If we didn't have a method, I don't know what we would do. But it's also a wonderful experience. The worship, the preaching is awesome. People who have gained recognition from sometimes all over the country come to our conferences and serve as preachers for the different services. The experience, if you have never been to conference, is an awesome one. But then there's also the business meeting. We know about meetings when we're Methodist. We do a lot of meetings. Fortunately, we eat when we meet, so that takes some of the edge off of it. I like eating, so I put up with it. But these are all people who, in their own way, have been called by God and called by their congregations to come together, 800-plus churches represented in this gathering of all of the churches in Florida from Apalachicola River to Key West, come together once a year to do the business of the church. And, you know, I always thought I was a pretty good speaker. I've had people ask me how I got up in front of people and talked without, you know, stumbling too much or being too uncomfortable. And I've been doing this for more than 10 years now, so, you know, that was okay. But this year, I have felt a call to speak in terms of trying to get the church to do more in terms of prison ministry. And so this year, I wrote a resolution, which is a way that the individuals within the church can make suggestions as to things the church should do or how to do it. And I published that resolution. I got it approved by the resolution committee. I stood in front of the entire over 1,000 people, and I got stage fright. I stood up there and I opened my mouth and nothing came out. I knew I was called to be there, so I had to step back, take a deep breath, ask for help, come back, and say, excuse me, Bishop, I guess I'm a little nervous. And then I was able to talk. Being called is a scary thing. Being called by God is an awesome responsibility. And just as God was sorry that he had called Saul, we don't always fulfill our callings well. There are stories, many stories, in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, of people who were called by God to do something, and then did not do it well. They did not follow God's instructions. They did not do his will. They, for whatever reason, went off on their own, got lost in the process. Were they called? Of course they were. But they did not follow through. There are many stories of people in the Bible who were called who did not answer the call. We don't know their names, because the Bible names those who did. We frequently hear stories of many people who were given the opportunity, but then the Bible names the ones who stood up, who were willing to be counted, who were willing to act, who were willing to serve, who were willing to speak for God. And it has forgotten the names of those who do not. We all want our names to be known, but not necessarily in the help wanted section of the paper. We all want to have a little appreciation. We want to be noticed, but not necessarily for some things. One of the pastors who spoke talked about praying for humility, and he said he had stopped doing that after he preached an entire service unzipped. How embarrassing. Talk about humility. Well, I felt like one of the humbled after I had to stand up in front of those 1,000 people and tell them that the copies of my resolution, which had been sitting on the table at Jim Russo Prison Ministry, had been a rough draft, which was not the resolution that they were acting on or the one that was printed in the workbook. I had printed out the wrong copy. Maybe that was why I got stage fright. We make mistakes. We're human. We struggle. We fall down. We fall back. We misstep. We miss the call. We hear the call, but we don't understand it. We hear the call, but we don't think it's for us. We don't always do what we're supposed to do. But sometimes we do. And when we do, it's an amazing experience. When that small voice speaks in our ear, and we reach out and touch someone in the next hospital bed, across the aisle at church, in the line at the grocery store, in our work, in our play, wherever we happen to be, then we feel something move. We feel something change. We feel something awesome within us. Something that allows us, that supports us, that encourages us, that helps us to be more than we can be, to do more than we can do, to rise above our daily abilities and become a little more godly than we were the moment before. We're all called. At different times, in different ways, in different places, God has a plan for our lives. I don't know what plan he has for yours. I don't even know what plan he has for mine. Sometimes I just wish he would send me an email with an agenda. Golly, God, what's going on here? What are you doing? I don't know. I don't understand. Well, that's part of being human too, is not knowing or understanding. Do you think that the young boy David, about the age of Dominique here, had any idea that he was about to be anointed king over Israel? No. No, he was a child who was out there in the fields with the sheep. Well, not even in the fields, really, in the pastures, which means the areas where the grass grew naturally. It wasn't really fields like we have fields. There was no barbed wire around it. There was no protection. See, I didn't understand what it was to be a shepherd boy until I had the wonderful opportunity to go up into the Tarahumara Sierra in Mexico on a mission trip and meet the Tarahumara Indians, who are the southern cousins of the Apache. They still wear loincloths. They still live in caves. They still have to worry about whether their children are going to be eaten by lions. Well, we call them mountain lions. When they send them out with a bag full of rocks and a stick and maybe a dog to herd the goats. And I see little kids this big with their younger siblings wrapped around them in a cloth, a dog, a stick, and a bag full of rocks, and a half a dozen goats. And that's their job for the family, is to take the goats to a place where there's a little bit of grass so that they can get a little more to eat than they would if they stayed home and ate all the grass and then didn't have anything to eat. Imagine that little boy, maybe 10, 12 years old, a little bigger than this one, but not much, out there with his sling. Remember David's sling? Yeah, we hear about that later, don't we? Yeah. With a sling and some rocks, maybe a staff, a stick. Maybe he had a dog or two with him. We don't know. Tending the flocks, day and night. Trying to find good grass so that they could fatten up. Safe water so they could get a drink without falling in and getting carried away and drowned. Speaking to God every day. Asking for God's protection, asking for God's mercy, asking for God to be with him as he is there alone in the fields with a few sheep, a few goats, and bears and lions and wolves and all those things that look at him and the goat says, lunch. Yeah. How would we be dropped into the middle of a wilderness with nothing but a stick and a handful of rocks? We'd be scared. I'd be scared. And being a little kid, I'm sure he was at times terrifying. But he had learned to rely on God. He had learned to listen to God. He had learned that God loved him and would care for him if he did what he was supposed to do, if he answered God's call when he called him. And so when the prophet Samuel goes to see Jesse in Bethlehem and asks to see his sons, because God has chosen one of his sons to be king of Israel, Jesse, of course, brings the oldest first. Big, strong, good-looking kid, you know? My oldest son, proud of him. He must be the one that God has chosen. Nope, that's not the one God's looking for. Who's next? Who's youngest? Who's the younger? Brings the second oldest son. Nope, that's not the one God's looking for. He brings the third oldest. Nope, that's not the one. Brings seven more sons. 11 sons. God's not looking for any of them. Do you have any other sons? Only David, the youngest, who's out in the field with the goats. Bring him. See, Bethlehem wasn't a big city. The tribe of Jesse was not an impressive, imposing tribe. They didn't have a lot of political clout, political power. They were not where most people would have expected the next king to come from. And unlike the big, strong, strapping, older sons that Jesse had, David was not particularly impressive. He was a young man, attractive, it says, clear-eyed, but not imposing, not powerful, not particularly strong, but he had something that God saw. He had something that God wanted him to do. He had something that God wanted him to be. God wants something from you. God wants you to be something greater than you are. God wants you to step out, step up, be counted, be willing, be open, be available to serve. And when we say, send me, when we say, choose me, when we say pick me, when we say let me serve, let me be the one who does your will, show me what you would have me do, Lord, he does. And sometimes we hear it clearly enough, we see it well enough, we notice it enough that we respond to that. And when we do, something wonderful happens. But when we fail to respond, when we fail to act, when we fail to serve, when we fail to do our job with faith and love and accept his leadership, when we think we know how to do things, when we think we know who to choose, when we think we know what we are doing, then we get in trouble. Saul was in trouble with God. He had been chosen by God to do a job, and then he had gotten impressed with himself and thought it was him, not God. And so God removed him from office, and not in a particularly pleasant fashion, as I remember, and brought David, the young shepherd boy, the last of the least, the youngest son of the smallest tribe of Jerusalem, to the capital, to be the king, to serve. And of course we know the stories of David and his service, his sling to Goliath. His service spanned many years. He made mistakes. He got in trouble. But always he was faithful to God, asking for guidance, asking for help, asking for a word to show him the way. That's all God asks of us, is to be willing to serve him as he has served us by giving us his son, the son who would die that we should have life, the son who would give all he had that we might have all in him. In Jesus' name.